series of serpents and doves, and there was this question, wondering, what, since we're doing this serpents and doves, am I going to come out holding serpents in my hands? But I can assure you, we're not that kind of church. Neither will I be holding doves by their hands. Although if you go to our chapel, you can find a mom dove or pigeon or whatever it is. So they're around. But really, what this series, the serpents and doves, refer to is there's a passage in Scripture in the Gospel where Jesus is talking to his disciples about their going into villages and sharing the good news that the kingdom of God is near. And he tells them, he gives them this preface. He says, I want you to be as wise as serpents and as innocent as doves. And in the weeks to come, we're going to explore that and unpack that. What does that mean as followers of Jesus to be as wise as serpents? Because you hear that and you're like, wait a minute, wasn't the serpent the craftiest of all animals? And wasn't it the serpent's fault for leading people astray? And you're like, well, yeah, you could read that in Genesis. But also it meant that serpents in nature, they know when to get away. They know when to say, okay, I'm out. You don't need to hear this, so I'll just escape. And doves refer to the innocence, the purity of what we're all about. But that's in the weeks to come. Today we're going to share with you a well-known parable that Jesus gave, and it's one of those unique things where Dan was talking about Jesus with the Samaritan woman at the well, because the parable that we're going to look at, and Dan and I did not coordinate this at all, is Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 25. For those of you who don't have this memorized, your cheater Bible titles above it will say the parable of the Good Samaritan. So if you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 25, we're going to read this passage, and then we're going to unpack some things as we read. And I'm going to go ahead and not demand that you stand. You can go ahead and sit, because this is a pretty long passage of Scripture from Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 25. And we're going to read through the whole passage. The text is also going to be on the screen behind me if you'd like to read along back there behind me. Here's the story we read. Luke 10, 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this, and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Let's pray. Father, as we explore this text, as our minds go to for what many is a very familiar parable story taught by Jesus, Father, may you bring your Spirit in here to us. May you speak to us. May you reveal to us your truth and the application for how we are to live in this kingdom that you have brought. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this past week, it was a really beautiful day. It was gorgeous, right? It was after the storms, and it was really warm. And so I called up my wife, and I said, hey, let's all meet up at the State Lakes and hike, right? Because you got to find things for boys to do, activities. And so we met up at the State Lakes, and we hiked the trail that goes all the way around that one lake. It's about 1.3 miles for those of you who are playing along at home. What's funny is my oldest son, he brings paper and crayon so that he can mark the landmarks in case we get lost on the trail, so we know where we're going. My youngest son brings a backpack full of supplies that he felt was essential for a hike at the State Lakes, including what he called a stranger stick that he had made out of these buildable things that if a stranger were to come by, he could pull it out and whack them with it. Stranger stick. To their credit, they made it around the entire trail without complaining. We didn't have to carry him. It was a beautiful thing. But what I tell you that story because as we're walking, my youngest son, who brought the stranger stick with his backpack, occasionally, it wasn't very often, but occasionally we would pass others on the trail. And what, you know, we tried to practice physical distance on a trail at the State Lakes, and so we would go off to our side. But he, every single time, looked at them and said, "Hi." How weird is it? And maybe it's just a is it condemnation on my part that was weird that you just say hi to random strangers on the trail? But my youngest son did this every time we passed someone he didn't know. He didn't know who they were. Hi. And then what really got him going was if they had a dog with them, and he would take note of the dog and he would say to them, "Hi, nice dog." And every single person, with the dog, without the dog, except for one, and I don't think they quite heard him, because when you go around, you walk through the parking lot, and there was so much distance, everyone replied, "Hi, thanks. He's okay, he won't bite you." And that got me thinking about the parable of the Good Samaritan, and how my youngest son responded to these complete strangers. And how for me that seemed weird in the times we live in. So I want to just go through this and unpack some things, share some thoughts of mine with you, and hopefully you will journey along with me and you will take some of these words with you during the week, chew on them, talk about them, ponder them, and then, if God willing, live accordingly. But we see in this scenario an expert of the law testing Jesus. Luke adds his commentary that this expert in the law, so he knows Scripture, he knows the law of Moses, frontwards and backwards, and he stands to get the attention, and he asks the question, "How do I get eternal life?" It's a common question in Jesus' time, and when traveling rabbis would go through the village, you would ask them this question: how do you interpret it? What's your answer? And so for Jesus, it was his turn on the block. How do you answer this question, Rabbi? How do I get eternal life? And Jesus, in a seemingly guarded fashion, but also a brilliant fashion, he turns the question on back to the expert. He says, "Well, how do you answer that?" And the man brilliantly answers with the two phrases that Jesus himself in other gospels says, this is what the law is summed up to, these two things: love God, and if I were to paraphrase it, love God with all of who you are, the core of you, everything that makes you you, pour that out in your love for God. And also love your neighbor as yourself. If you're like me and you know that this is the parable of the Good Samaritan, often I will want to blitz right past that because, hey, this is the story of the Good Samaritan. I want to get to the story. But I would say just kind of hesitate over that, that this expert in the law says, hey, love the Lord your God with all of yourself and love your neighbor as yourself. Just kind of hover over that and reflect on what that looks like. And the fact that he answered in a way that Jesus was like, absolutely, absolutely, do this and you'll live. Bravo. And then Luke decides to add his commentary, but that wasn't good enough for this guy because he wanted to justify himself. And if you've been a follower of Jesus for any amount of years, you know that you cannot, a person cannot justify themselves. Only God justifies. And so he says, okay, great. Let's see if we can trip Jesus up. So who would you say is my neighbor? Because Rabbi so-and-so over here would say this. The law of Deuteronomy would say this. Leviticus would say this. Who do you say is my neighbor? And again, where I would take creative license is I try to imagine what this actually looks like. All we have are the words on the page. But what happens? So this is where I take creative license. I imagine Jesus and he's there and he's talking and this guy's asking him and he knows what this expert's trying to get at. And so he's like, what do you say? Oh, good answer. And then the man says, okay, so who was my neighbor? And I picture Jesus just kind of stopping, turning and looking at the expert and really seeing him. And I wonder if he smiled because Jesus knows exactly what's going to happen. And Jesus, in his brilliance, doesn't answer the expert. Rather, he tells a story. And he starts by saying, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Some translations have Jesus saying, a certain man. But it's brilliant in that there's no labels to this individual. It's just a man, a certain man. Now, the brilliance in this is that the audience hears this, and it's so general that what you have to do is you insert yourself into it, or you identify with it. In Jesus' time, the audience would hear, oh, a Jewish person is going. This person is Jewish. Now, Luke's audience, there would be more Gentiles, non-Jewish people in, so perhaps they hear this retelling and they're picturing themselves as this person who fell among robbers. Those of us who are listening to it right now, we might think it's like me because there's no identifying marks on this person. It's just a man, a certain man, goes down and falls into the hands of robbers who strip him of his clothes and beat him and leave him half dead. He's just there. And Jesus continues the story. He says, a priest is walking by and he sees him. All three of these characters see the man. And I think that's vitally important for some reason. But he passes by. In Jesus' story, the priest passes by on the other side. This might have started a debate in the crowd because there are some people who are listening to this and it's just assumed a priest, well, certainly they would have taken pity. They would have shown compassion. They're a priest. They would have shown that's what their livelihood was all about. And then there were others in the crowd who might have said, yeah, but you don't realize, you don't understand. They might have had a place that they needed to be. And as a priest, if they would have touched this so-called dead body, they might have become impure and all the regulations, and it would have been a mess, and it was just, you know what, it's better just to keep on going. A little debate would have caused division in the audience, maybe, that the expert of the law was listening to. And then Jesus continues, and then a Levite comes,
sees the man and passes by. Again, the debate rears its head. Wait a minute. Why wouldn't the Levite do that? It's like the priest. They would go. They would show compassion. Oh, you don't understand. The Levite, there might have had some important business to attend to, and it was too time-consuming. Give him some slack. Surely the third person, because by this time they all know the story. It's a familiar story. There's a third person coming, and the third person is the hero. The third person, ladies and gentlemen, it's like us. Jesus is telling a story about us. We're going to be the hero, whether we're Jewish or in Luke's audience. It's anybody. The hero's going to come. And that's when Jesus completely flips the narrative. Because Jesus knows, and that's why I envision him talking to this expert, seeing him and smiling, because he knows what's coming. He even uses that word, but. He doesn't say and, but there's this, the switch is flipped. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, as he was going about his life, came to where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. We're a few hundred years removed from the situation in Jesus' time. Some of you may know this, but people of Israel, Samaritans, not the best of friends, not the greatest of allies. In fact, they hated one another. I mean, this was both politically and ethically and ethnically divisive. And it all started back when the nation of Israel split into two. In the Old Testament, you hear of the nation of Israel dividing. You have the nation of Israel to the north, the nation of Judah to the south, and then all of a sudden, one of the nations goes into exile. And they start to intermarry with other nationalities because they're conquered. And then the next nation of Israel, the part of the two, it gets conquered. But there was a remnant that was able to return and begin to rebuild the protective walls around their city, around their temple. And the Samaritans came along and they said, hey, we can help you rebuild the wall. And the response was, no thanks, you filthy half-breeds. We don't want your kind here. And from that, the Samaritan said, okay. And for the next how many years, picked away and antagonized and bothered and were just a nuisance in the eyes of the Israelites. And it never went away. It got to the point where in Jesus' time, they so hated one another that the Samaritans worshipped in a different way and so foreign to the way the Israelites did. They had their temple, Israel had their temple, to the point where the Samaritans knew that the Israelites, you know, don't have anything to do with dead things or blood. They took bones from carcasses and threw them into the Israel temple because they knew that would desecrate it. They knew that it would upset them, and it was just, you know, it would deface them, and Israel reacted. Of course they would, because how dare you do this? And they destroyed the temple of the Samaritans. So there's no love between Samaritans and the audience that Jesus is talking to. In fact, you look back at Luke chapter 9, just before this, and Jesus and his disciples have an interaction with a Samaritan village. Chapter 9, beginning in verse 51, as the time approached for Jesus to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem, and he sent messengers on ahead who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. We don't want your kind here. We don't want your political agenda, your ethnic background. We don't want that kind in our village. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven and destroy them? Come on, let's do it. Let's just burn their city to the ground. And amazingly, Jesus does to James and John the same thing that he did to the wind and the wave when it was storming, when he was on the boat. He
rebuked them. Be still. Be quiet. In our vernacular, be settle yourselves down. We're not doing this. And he and his disciples went to another village. So in this parable, the fact that the hero in Jesus' story, Jesus, a Jewish rabbi, the fact that he would include a Samaritan as the hero, it's unconscionable. How dare you? Jesus not only says that the Samaritan's the hero, but he goes into great detail where the priest and the Levite would just pass by. Jesus goes into great detail of the personal sacrifice the Samaritan goes to care for this man, including his own wine, his own time. He was traveling. He had places to go, but he stopped, poured on oil and wine, put him on his own donkey. His comfort is now sacrifice. He took him to an inn, and we assume that it was in near Jerusalem, so the Samaritans, in Jesus' story, the Samaritan's own life is in danger because he's in enemy territory. He goes to the inn, and he says, hey, take care of this guy. I will be back. I will return to the place of personal danger to myself, and I will pay back anything else for the cost. And Jesus asks, which of these three men, which of these three do you think, expert in the law, do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? We're so many years removed from the division between Samaritans and Israel. And so how do we bring it into our time, right? Maybe This is where we can really step on some toes, as Jesus did. I mean, what if Jesus were retelling the story now, and he starts out the story, so there's a guy, and he fell among robbers, and then all of a sudden, an evangelical Christian walks by, sees him, and passes by on the other side. And the argument would be like, are you kidding me? There is no way. I'm an evangelical Christian. There is no way that we would pass by someone who's... And then there'd be another debate. Well, you never know. I mean, it could be an important pastor, and he might have had some big tele thing that he had to go talk to. And so maybe, you know, he had some busy things to do. And then after that, maybe it's a community organizer that passes by, sees him, and goes by on the other side. Wait a minute, are you kidding me? No, community, they love their community. There's no way that they would just let this... Well, you don't understand. There might have been some interview that they needed to give, and it would have been, you know, too much for them to stop by. So who would be the hero if Jesus were to tell the story today? What if it was to say, so a red hat-wearing Trump supporter stopped by and took pity on him? And so a member of Black Lives Matter stopped by and took pity on this man. Someone who was pro-guns and pro-military stopped by. Maybe someone who from CNN stopped by and took pity. Maybe Antifa stopped by and took pity on this person. A liberal, a conservative. And the response is, are you kidding me? There is no way that type of person would stop and show pity on this person. Do you realize what they do? Don't you realize how they conduct business and how they talk and what they've done on TV? There is no way a red hat wearing Trump supporter would show this support, because you know exactly what they would do. There is no way that a member of Antifa would show support for this person because they burned down buildings. We've seen it. Jesus, you've got your story wrong. And what's ironic is that's exactly what his audience would have told him about Samaritans. Jesus, you have no idea. That's totally wrong, because Samaritans, they throw bones in our temples. There is no way that the Samaritan would show compassion on this person. You've got to change the story. But he doesn't. In fact, Jesus says, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? For the longest time, as I would hear this parable and I would actually preached from it, I got to this point of the story and
how the expert in the law responds. I don't know how you've read it, but how I've preached from it, it was always from a place of disgust, right? Where I even remember the words that came out of my mouth that said, you know, he couldn't even stomach saying the word Samaritan because they were so reviled. Just the label caused so much division within this expert in the law that he couldn't bring himself to physically say the word Samaritan because it was so hated. It brought out so much anger. But after this experience with my son saying hello to strangers, a nice dog, and as I read this, and I said, well, maybe that's true. Maybe this expert in the law really, man, maybe he was just so filled with fury that he couldn't respond. Or what if, because we have nothing more than the words that we have on the page, because like many of Jesus' parables, the story ends right here. What if this expert on the law of the law was actually listening to Jesus' story? What if he was taking everything that Jesus was verbally saying and he was recognizing something within himself? What if this response from the expert in the law, because the version of the Bible that I read from it says, the expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. What if it's at this point, because of Jesus' story, that he recognizes it's not about the labels, right? The story started with just some man. It's a certain man. And Jesus included a priest, a Levite, and a Samaritan. And it's not so much, priest, Levite, what if we just throw out the label Samaritan? Who was the one who showed neighborly life? And the man simply realizes and recognizes the one who showed mercy. What if this expert in the law walks away from this encounter with Jesus absolutely, completely, totally changed because of this? Because it's not so much an answer of, okay, who's my neighbor? No, Jesus uses this parable to pierce the audience's heart. Wow. The fact that I have such animosity. They've done horrible things. But when it comes down to this, there can't be labels. It's the one who showed mercy. And Jesus responds, go and do likewise. Just like when Jesus gave the commandment to go into all the world, it's an active verb. So in other words, Jesus says, while you're going, while you're about your life, just like this Samaritan guy as he was traveling, in your going, do likewise. And so I reflect upon this parable, especially in the period of time we find ourselves with all of the division going on. What if we added evangelical Christian community organizer, and the third person is, and then someone wearing a mask, someone not wearing a mask. You see, the term Samaritan, it caused so much division in its time. If we think about any kind of labels that we put on people that have caused so much division in our world that it's even infected into our churches and how we think. And what if the result of this story is this expert in the law recognizing and realizing, wow, it's not that at all. It's not the labels, it's not the division, it's simply the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus' response is, go. Absolutely, go and do likewise. Another way to look at this is this nameless labelless man who is there on the ground, this Samaritan person whose term, whose label caused so much division, entered into this man's death. He allowed his experience to unite with this man's experience. And he lived it, and he experienced it with him. It wasn't from far off, but it was, I'm here in this with you. How many weeks ago we talked about, I think it was last week, where it was because of Jesus, one died and so all died. And it's the call of you all have joined with Christ, as if it was Christ there on the ground lying half dead. And this man comes and enters into that experience with him. When Jesus says, mourn with those who mourn, rejoice with those who's rejoiced. It's this parable. You enter into their experience. And you show mercy. Let's close by having a few moments of reflection and prayer. Because I'll tell you, standing here on this elegant, glorious platform, I am not one who has been immune to thinking certain thoughts about certain people because of their actions. And when this parable hit me and I'm reading this, I'm thinking it's the one who showed mercy. Not labels. May the world see us as followers of Christ, as mercy givers, uniting with those who hurt, asking the questions, being in it with them, bringing about peace. Heavenly Father, I think all of us in this room would tell you that there is so much division within our country, within our state, within ourselves. Father, we ask that your Spirit would come afresh and anew, bringing your kingdom into our hearts, into our minds. Father, as we hear from this parable and we think about it and we turn it, and maybe the expert in the law was disgusted, and maybe he had a eureka moment, we don't know, but I certainly did. Father, if there are areas in our lives where we have felt such venom toward one another or others, may you bring us to mercy. Where there are things that we don't understand, may you give us opportunities to ask questions. Father, and above all, as we walk in your forgiveness, in light of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, whose blood washes away our sin, may we walk in the armor of light, carrying that, professing that, proclaiming that love of Jesus. And may we pick up the words from Christ who said, now go and do likewise. May your church, by the power and influence of your Spirit, be the element of change. For your glory and your honor, we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here with us, for going on this journey with me this morning. If you're here, if you want some water, grab some as you go, and then be blessed in your going. May God lead you and direct you and keep you safe in all of your endeavors. We will see you next week.